Chapter 5, Hot-Dogging the Sophisticats. Their boredom becomes more and more terrible. They realize that they've been tricked and burn with resentment. Every day of their lives, they read the newspapers and went to the movies. Both fed them on lynchings, murder, sex crimes, explosions, wrecks, love nests, fires, miracles, revolutions, war. This daily diet made sophisticates of them. Nathaniel West, The Day of the Locust. If I could tell this story without using Chris Willman's name, I would be overjoyed. If I could write it without mentioning Liz Reeder's name, I would happily do so. I spent hours communicating with those two, trying to believe what they said, that they wanted to help Michelle explain things and clear up the confusion. But in October, I realized I had trusted the wrong people. That was when the journalist and a disgruntled former pal of Michelle's hosted a panel discussion at a women's music conference about Michelle without asking Michelle. The whole situation tested our little Twitter posse, but we managed, one, not to kill one another, and two, to see just how viciously vacuous the mob really was. MeowCon, Austin, October 8, 2013. Chris Willman direct messages me on Twitter to say that he has been invited to talk on a panel about Michelle. He doesn't say when, and he doesn't say where. He wants to know if I think she would agree to go and let him lead her through a discussion of what happened at Yoshi's. I tell him it's a terrible idea. He's never interviewed her. He ignores her explanations on Twitter and supplies his own. He can't even explain what truth versus reality is about. He says he really wants to help her. I tell him that the more he helps, the less good it does her. He insists he's trying to help. Now I had a dilemma. If I tell Michelle, I'm just playing into his hand. Why would he tell me about this but not give me any details? I assumed it was just to rile her up and create more controversy. If she didn't do it, there would be a big discussion on Twitter, maybe even another article. If she did it, he would have an exclusive interview to play with. With a knot in my gut, I moved into a realm that I hate. I've always prided myself on being honest, and I knew Michelle would never sit with him on a panel discussion about her motives and behavior. But if it was a foregone conclusion, I wanted her side represented. I thought maybe I could get her to write a simple statement that could be read at the discussion. The problem was, if I told her who it was for, it would derail her ability to express herself. Weighing the two options, I decided to lie. I had been working with her on an article which eventually grew into this book, and I asked her if she could come up with a statement about the meaning of truth versus reality, something simple and dumbed down. She said she would try. I expected a paragraph or maybe a page or two of poetic prose. 8 hours later, she sent me lyrics to a really lovely new song called Truth Versus Reality. So much for that plan. By now, I knew that writers were gathering on the horizon, so I began to write furiously. We needed ammunition, and now. She wasn't going to this conference, and she wasn't going to make a simple statement. It was up to me to represent her, and I knew she would be furious that I had known something was brewing and hadn't told her. And I knew Willman wasn't going to tell her. The plot sickens, October 17, 2013. Liz Reeder messages me on Facebook. She is chatty. She complains of her health issues. Then, in an apparent aside, says, "Oh, I forgot to ask. Did you tell her about his upcoming speaking engagement?" I say no. I don't have any details, so it would just inflame things. She replies, just between you and I. He will be here next week.
Chris?
Yes. Again, why were they telling me and not Michelle? Why the fake intimacy of a just between you and I question? I knew they wanted me to tell her, but why? I had finished my article, Steal This Bootleg, the night Michelle Shocked pointed at you, and sent it to Michelle. My conscience at this point was swollen and battered beyond imagination. Guilt punched me in the gut every time I corresponded with her. She was totally going to kick my ass. After Liz's information that Willman was coming to Austin, I called Jimito Conchito, the third party in our little posse, and spilled my guts. He agreed that we didn't have anything yet, but coincidentally, Willman had just contacted him for the first time via direct message on Twitter. Jimito agreed to see what he could find out. Within a day, he had found the conference schedule and the description of the talk. Musicians for Equal Opportunities for Women presents MeowCon, a conference for women in music, October 24 through 26, 2013, Renaissance Hotel, Austin, Texas. In a flurry of activity that, not surprisingly, did not include me, plans were made for him to fly to Austin to attend the conference. Quad Fin Rider, a surfer dude and Twitter buddy, pitched in to help with travel expenses, and in a few hours, Jimito Conchito was going incognito. Meanwhile, Michelle and I explored the limits of betrayal and forgiveness. But within a day, our pact of poets moved as one, laughingly picturing ourselves as ninjas slithering down ropes in the dark of night. No time for arguing. We had a job to do and the means to do it. The outcome, however, surpassed any of our expectations. Jimito's Incognito Report. Chris Willman followed me on Twitter in late October, after I unprotected my account. I figured he had some kind of intelligence he needed to convey, or he was just being the internet troll he truly is. I followed him back so I could ask, "What in the world do you want?" in a direct message. He, of course, was evasive. He gave me small parts of whole answers. "It's a conference. It's at a hotel outside of downtown." I didn't entertain his presence long, because I knew he was just trying to feed from the bottom and get information. I searched online, Willman, Music Conference, Austin, and lo and behold, MeowCon came up. When I went to the site, I saw that Chris Willman and Liz Reeder were conducting a panel session in the impact category called Backlash. What really happened to Michelle Shocked? It was Wednesday, October 23rd, and the panel session was the upcoming Saturday. I knew Michelle didn't have this information and gave it some thought as to what to do. I thought about the impact this information would have on her and if it was wise to tell her. I would want to know if it were me. The wheels started turning, and I thought that it would be a true coup d'etat if Michelle were to show up for that session. I emailed her a cryptic message about being able to leave on short notice and keep it together in a pressure situation. My idea was for her to show up at the session. It was about her, after all, and the people running it hadn't spoken to her in months. She came back to me with, "No, you're going to go." I love Austin. I was game. We decided that three things needed to happen. Videotape the session, tweet with Michelle while in the session, and Skype during the session. I arrived at the Renaissance Hotel early on Saturday. The session was at 2:15, and I needed to test all the technology with Michelle during the previous session in the same room to see how it would work. As I entered the hotel lobby, I was struck by the lack of people. The parking lots were full, but it didn't seem like there were any women musician types around.
I set up my computer. I had no Wi-Fi, and MeowCon wasn't offering Wi-Fi at the conference either. Skype couldn't happen. I FaceTimed with Michelle at this point to update her about what I was able to do with the technology. She was very patient, as I recall, and super-duper excited. It was 11 a.m., and Kathy Valentine from the Go-Go's was in the Glass Oaks ballroom giving the keynote speech. The only entrance to this room seemed to be directly from the parking area, so I waited there. When she finished, I noticed the number of people who exited from the Glass Oaks ballroom, maybe 20, if that. Once I got in the room, Michelle and I tested the technology again during the session prior to the Chris and Liz panel. It was not the best. The phone wasn't picking up the ceiling speakers as well as she may have wanted, but what could I do? I was nervous and didn't want to seem too obvious walking around the back of a ballroom while a conference was going on yelling, "Can you hear it now?" Satisfied it was going to be all right, I ended the call and went back to the parking lot to wait for the session to begin at 2:15. Again, this session had maybe 7 people walk out the outside entrance. As I sat there waiting, I believe Jane Wiedlin from the Go-Go's walked by. No time to wonder, for a task was at hand. As it got closer to 2 p.m., I became anxious. I started to walk from the parking lot to the entrance, but Liz was standing alone outside looking around. Why? I turned around and waited until she had gone back in. I took one last drag off my cigarette. It was time. I walked in to find 7 people talking to the panelists of the prior session. A MeowCon videographer, Chris Willman in a chair on stage, and Liz talking to another videographer who was setting up stage left. I paced around with my nose in my iPhone, trying to look disinterested. No one was coming in for this session as of yet. It was 2:15, start time. There was one man sitting in the first row, and later I would realize he was with the panelists. They delayed the start, I assume, due to the fact that no one came. They finally started, and 5 minutes in, a girl with a cowboy hat walked in and sat near the front. And moments later, Janet Robin came in. She is a friend of Michelle's. Another woman came in, sat in the back, but left at some point around halfway through. One last woman came in, walked down the aisle, hesitated, then waved a hello at Liz. The room had at least 200 chairs, and 4 were filled, not including me. As the panelists started their talk, it became clear quickly that Liz Reeder was treating it like a gossip session about Michelle. She cursed the entire time, even dropping the F-bomb. Chris professed to have 50 hours of collected material and said that Liz's husband, Rick, was a mental health professional who would show Shock's mental instability. But where was he? Not present. The more Liz talked, the more bitter she sounded, using character voices to drive home her points. I asked myself, how is this helping musicians in an impact way? It became a bitch session for Liz, and Chris could only quote hearsay from others. As much as he will tell you he has an open mind, he doesn't. They were there to merely convey that they were right. I decided not to chime in and just focused instead on getting the information to Michelle so she could hear the tribunal and respond on Twitter. I had my camera set up for the video, my phone placed under a ceiling speaker with Michelle listening, and I was tweeting a play-by-play. At this point, Janet Robin started talking about some flyers that had been placed on cars, and Liz said that they were Perrin Blackman's take on what happened. Then Janet must have said that someone was tweeting to Michelle about what the panel was discussing, because she had been responding in real time on Twitter. This is when Liz asked if someone was tweeting from the room. I raised my hand and waved, but didn't say anything. Liz looked dismayed and said, There you go. There was now an audience of three: Janet, the cowgirl, and the unknown man in the front row, who clearly was with the panelists. Finally, they were allowed to make comments or ask questions. Janet spoke first and registered dissent about the panelists' views on musicians and their voices, and asked why shouldn't musicians have opinions. Liz seemed to get frustrated and kept speaking into her microphone, cutting Janet off. The cowgirl started telling Liz that her opinion was that social media like Twitter was a negative thing. If you watch the video, you can tell that when it is clear that they are outnumbered, the tune changes in their voice and temperament. They quickly end the session. As I walked out of the ballroom, I picked up the phone to see if Michelle was even still there. She was, and she was elated, which in turn made me elated. The cowgirl was walking behind me and kept saying, "I can't believe this. This is so cool." She knew I was talking to Michelle, and as it turns out, Emily Herring is a big fan. I thanked Janet as she hurriedly walked back into the hotel. I asked Emily if she would like to talk to Michelle. She was floored, and she kept telling Michelle how much she loved her music. I was over the moon. Michelle was happy, a fan had the opportunity to talk to one of her inspirations, and we were able to capture and respond to the whole disastrous discussion. A tweet from Anna Kay summed up the general tenor of the tribunal. He simply tweeted, "Cunts." Chris Willman seconded that emotion.